I just want to welcome you to Vertical Church. If you somehow got by our coffee team and our welcome team and our greeting team, whether you're online or in Hiawassee, you're here in Morgan. I just want to say my name is Philip. I'm so glad that you're here today. And I want to give a special shout out. Can you guys help me, whether it's online or in Hiawassee, you're here, can you help me in welcoming our college students that are here today? I'm so encouraged to see this is in the heart of finals. It's the end of the year. There's so much going on. And to see college students say, hey, you know what? I'm going to give up some time to go to church, and I want to hear from the Lord. I want to see God move my life. That's so encouraging. And I just want to say I'm so proud of you to do that. And I pray that God blesses and moves in your life today and rewards you for stepping out and wanting to engage with him. So we're in a series called Available. It's our Christmas series. We're on week 3. Whoa, somebody, I don't know if they were sneezing or excited about the series, but we'll take you for both. And so we're on week 3. If you missed a couple, you can go back on the app, our social media, our website, and catch up, and that's okay. But we're going to go to John chapter 13 today. John chapter 13 today. So if you go to the middle of the Bible, you keep working toward the New Testament, you're going to find it there. It's okay. You can use your Bible app. You can use the Bible you brought. Or if you don't have any of that, that's totally okay. We're going to put the words up on the screen for you because we believe the Bible's alive and it's active and it can pierce right to our heart and our mind today. So we believe even if we put it up on the screen, it can speak into our life. John 13, verse 1, it says, just before the Passover festival, Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. I want you to underline or highlight verse 3. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. I want us to talk about something, that there's a perception held by some that Jesus is soft or that he's weak or that he's not powerful. I think we should just not pretend it doesn't exist, but Jesus said things like, hey, you should turn the cheek when someone hits you. Jesus was willingly carried away and crucified. Jesus got out and washed his disciples' feet, because in that time or culture, everyone pretty much wore sandals, all the roads were dirt, and y'all can tell, them feet be stinky, okay? That was not going to be pleasant. But Jesus did the job of a servant. That job was reserved for servants because everybody's feet were just plain nasty. And Jesus, at dinner time, I'm a germaphobe, okay? I'm just going to call it what it is. I wash my hand before every meal. I ain't got no time to get no stomach virus, no nothing. I wash my hand before every meal. Jesus, at mealtimes, going around and washing people's feet, that blows my mind. That blows my mind. But here he is, he's doing stuff like this, and the perception can be, Jesus seems to be soft or weak. Let's just call it what it is. But what if meekness isn't weakness? What if meekness isn't weakness? And I want us to go back to something that's very interesting in verse 3, I told you to highlight or underline it. That was not without a reason. Look at this. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. That is what's told to us before he gets and washes everyone's feet. Jesus knew all things had been put under his power. That doesn't sound like somebody that's weak. Jesus knew where he was from and where he was going. That doesn't sound like someone that doesn't know his position in life. When Jesus got arrested and they were going to take him off to be crucified, some of his disciples, they're like us, they pull out a sword, they chop off a guy's ear because they don't know what they're doing with it, but they start swinging, and Jesus picks up the ear and heals the guy. And he turns around and he goes, don't you understand that if I just asked my Father, he would release legions of angels right now? Wait, what? And so Jesus is like, you put up your two swords, because just in case you're wondering, I'm packing in ways y'all don't understand. Like, these bad mamma jammas, they showed up with clubs and pitchforks and whatever else they could gather to arrest Jesus. And Jesus just goes, that's cute. That's cute. If I wanted to, I could ask the Father, and legions of angels would show up. And he says 12 in one of the New Testament Gospels. He says there's 12. If you just do some rough math, that's about 60,000 angels. Jesus knew his power. Jesus knew his position. Jesus knew his authority. He was not this guy just wandering around that was soft or weak. As we read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we begin to discover that Jesus is this man who was very comfortable in his identity. He was very comfortable in his position, his power, and his authority. And from that understanding of his identity, he was able to go wash feet like a servant. And I think that's really something we need to understand as Jesus has made himself available to us, the power of serving. See, here's the thing. Sometimes we look at leaders nowadays, and that's the last thing that's described of them, as a leader who serves. Because serving can sometimes be viewed as weakness or beneath you, or that's just not what you do once you finally get to the top. You don't serve. But Jesus is here going, no, if you want to serve the kingdom of heaven, you understand your position, your power, and your authority, it will drive you to serve. Because here's what's so different about the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of this world, they don't match. They don't line up. A lot of times in this world, a leader won't do things like that, but Jesus says, if you want to be a leader in the kingdom of heaven, follow my lead. You need to understand your position, your power, your authority, and it will drive you to do things like love. It'll drive you to do things like put others before yourself. It'll drive you to serve. And see, here's the thing. I want us to be honest. I think in American Christianity especially, people don't understand their identity. Christians along the line have lost our understanding of what is our position, what is our power, what is our authority. And some of y'all, I sense it, gets a little nervous. He's like, oh my gosh, he's going to talk about power and position, authority. This is about to get real weird. It's about to get real important is what it's going to get. You see, along the lines, the New Testament tells us, because of what Jesus has done, when you give your life to Jesus, you call him my Lord, my Savior, you ask him to move in your life, there's a couple things that happen. You go from death to life spiritually, is what the New Testament tells us. The New Testament also tells us that you become a co-heir with Christ because of what Jesus has done. You've gone from a nobody to now you are adopted in as a son or daughter of the King of Heaven. That's a radical change. When you start to understand, wait, I'm a son or I'm a daughter of the King of Heaven, that changes your position. There's the New Testament verses that also tell us that we're sent forth to be ambassadors for the good news about Jesus. That's authority. And then here's something we really stopped talking about along the lines in the way of American Christianity in certain spots is power. Jesus says this real interesting thing when he's about to return to the Father. John 13 says Jesus knew where he had come from the Father. He was returning to the Father. He looks at his disciples as he's about to ascend back into heaven. And they don't want him to leave. This is the dude that's performed miracles. This is the dude that's come back from the dead. This is the guy that's leading the charge. And they're like, Jesus, you can't leave right now. And Jesus says something along the lines of, and I say this because it's found in the Bible, it's better for me to go away. He tells his disciples that it's better for me to go away because if I go away, I will send you Holy Spirit. And somewhere along the lines, we kind of just stopped talking about it. And I don't know if we stopped talking about Holy Spirit because Holy Spirit's not something we can control. It's not some person we can put in a box. It's something that we just maybe can't wrap our mind around. So we don't really talk about Holy Spirit. But Jesus, the man who, because of him, we become sons and daughters of the King, Jesus, who gives us authority to be an ambassador for him and his good news, says, it's better for me to go away because then I'll send you Holy Spirit. Galatians 5 and 6 talk to us about Holy Spirit. It says there's fruits of the Spirit that can grow, like love, joy, peace, kindness, forbearance, and goodness, and self-control. There's these things that can grow in our life. Why would he send Holy Spirit if those fruits weren't important? Like, why would he send Holy Spirit if there wasn't more work to be done? Like, I don't know what happened along the lines, but in American Christianity, but there's been this underlying context that the pinnacle of everything is to become a Christian, to just get saved. And that's kind of the plateau. It's if you are saved, you're good from here. There's not really much more to do. You're good. You're covered. You're going to heaven. We're good. I don't know where that seeped into our theology or faith. It's like telling someone who's just been born, that's the highlight of your life. You're good from here, man. You have been born. Welcome to humanity. good luck from here. No, we would never tell a newborn child, this is the plateau of your life. It's all down here from here, baby. But that's how we treat in Christianity sometimes. The plateau is you get saved, and you're just good from here. We don't talk about Jesus who says when you get saved, like look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, look at Ephesians chapter 1, and just read the New Testament. There's this importance on Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 1 tells us that when you get saved, God deposits Holy Spirit inside of your life, sealing and marking you. When you give your life to Jesus, you're different. You're different, not by our own power, not by our own authority, not by our own position. It's all because of what Jesus has done. And see, I think sometimes we shy away from that power, position, authority because we see it get abused. Have you ever seen that power, position, and authority abused inside of Christianity? It happens. It's why the first thing we did when we talked about in this series, one of the reasons we talked about, you have to remain thankful. Because here's the thing, it's the most bizarre event to watch. Someone who's been given their position, power, and authority by no doing of their own, and the fruits of their life become arrogance and pride. They take a gift that was given and unearned, and they wield it for their own benefit. And because of misuses of that power, position, and authority, some of us go, I don't want to walk in that. I don't want to deal with that. That's not what I want for my life. I don't want to turn out like that, and we shouldn't. We shouldn't want our power, position, and authority to drive us to bear fruit like pride and arrogance and to exalt ourselves. That all of those things were given, not earned. And somewhere along the lines, we as Christians have just gotten saved and we kind of just float through life and we don't understand that we're a son or daughter of the King. We don't understand that we've been sent forth as an ambassador. We don't understand that there's power inside of us by Holy Spirit that's been given to us, that Jesus said, it's better if I go away so I can send you Holy Spirit. And it's this idea that what has been made available to us by Jesus has kind of just been left on the table. And it's affecting the world we live in. If you read the New Testament, we're also told that we don't fight against flesh and blood. You read these verses? We fight against principalities and rulers and evil forces. What if the New Testament is telling us there's this war that's being waged and none of us are participating because we don't understand our position, power, and authority? What if there's this war that's going on in spiritual realms that we don't even walk in because we don't want to accept the power, position, and authority that we've been given? Think about it in like medieval times. Think about if some king at a castle had numerous sons and daughters and people ready to go to war, but everyone just stayed in the castle. And then eventually we stayed so long in the castle that we became oblivious as to what's happening outside. And not only did we become oblivious, we didn't even know there's a war going on. We didn't know that there's people's souls at risk right now if we don't leave the castle. There's people inside of your sphere of influence who do not know Jesus, but you've been given power, position, and authority to go forth into the world and to bring good news, that there's hope. And you go, Philip, I don't know. I don't know that American Christianity has lost their identity. I'm just going to get real. I don't know if this should be done inside of a Christmas message, but here we are. It's been very revealing the past couple years that Christians don't fully grasp our identity because some of us in American Christianity have not moved on from a simple election. Some of us have still living in this perpetual cycle of despair and loss of hope, and there's nothing for us anymore. This world is going to hell in a handbasket. Well, if it is, then why don't we do anything about it? Then why don't we go, wait, I am a son or daughter of the King of Heaven. I have position, power, and authority, and I don't lose hope over a worldly election because where I'm from now, the Kingdom of Heaven, there are no elections. The King has sat on the throne from the beginning and to the end, and I'm not losing hope. And the reason that's so hurtful is not just inside of the Christianity, but it's very confusing to people who don't follow Jesus. Because they look at our life, and if Christians can lose their hope over one election, well, what does that say about the King we serve? If our King can fall off his throne by one election in a world, what kind of King is he? But if Christians understood our power, position, and authority, and we go, yeah, maybe some things aren't going right in our country. Yeah, I don't enjoy spending $17 on a gallon of gas. Yes, I'm not excited that a pound of meat is now $34. But that's not going to affect my hope. What if the world finally looked at Christianity and said, they seem to be unfazed while the rest of us go, this might be the end. Well, I'm from a kingdom that isn't going to perish. I think the world's looking for right now, is there any hope? Because they look at what they can inside of the world. They look and say, does the politics offer any hope? And it doesn't seem to offer any hope. Does sporting events really change my life? Does all these hobbies, does anything really offer me some kind of life-changing hope? And it's time for Christians to come out of the castle as sons and daughters of the King and ambassadors of the good news of Jesus, led by the power of Holy Spirit who's been sent to us by Jesus, and go, there absolutely is hope. And his name is Jesus. And I'd like to introduce you to him because he's changed my life. Before Jesus, I lived in life of sin. I'll tell you my personal story. Before I really gave my life to Jesus, I was addicted to pornography. I live a very self-centered life. I didn't care if my actions hurt you or affected you. I lived for myself. And then I met a man named Jesus who, after all of that, still said, come follow me. What? That's radical. That's different. That's a hope that changes the world. And why would I ever want to keep that to myself? And then, not only does he say, I will cleanse you, I'll wash you, I'll forgive your sins, he says, I'll send you. And that maybe is what's missing in American Christianity, is this idea that when you get saved, it's not the plateau, it's the birth. To be sent forth back into the world. It's why this church, we have this unwavering belief that you are not insignificant. If you are a son or daughter of the King, you are 100% significant. That God has a plan or purpose to work in and through your life to affect the world around you. He's called you forth to be part of his kingdom. And there's this time where we don't really understand maybe our position, our power, and authority that's been given to us by Jesus. And I understand that if we misuse it, we abuse it, it goes off the rails, but it's why we've got to remain thankful. But I'm here to tell you, whether you're online or you're in a movie theater, you're in a gym, your life is not insignificant. You have been bought at a price by the blood of Jesus, and he says, come follow me. Come follow me. He's sitting here washing people's feet, not because he's weak. It's because he understands his position, power, and authority. And it's this interesting thing we're going to get into in these verses as well. Jesus says something, I'm not just the Lord, I'm your teacher as well. And there's something that's happened inside of our faith that we really do treat Jesus like our Lord, but I don't know that we treat him like a teacher anymore. I don't know that we really treat him like he's teaching us things all through the New Testament, especially Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He's teaching us things and saying, come apply this to your life. What if Jesus was Lord and teacher? What if he wasn't just washing their feet? What if he was doing that to teach us, this is how you affect the world around you? Don't play the world games. Don't try to do it their way. It's completely topsy-turvy. It's completely unthinkable. It's never the strategy we would go to. But Jesus is trying to teach us, you want to change the world around you, go serve. Go love. Use the fruits of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, and kindness. Go affect the world around you because that's what I'm going to grow in your life because that's what's needed. Your life is not insignificant. Because of Jesus and his availability to humanity, we can be sent forth to affect the world around us. If I can tell you, it's one of the reasons Cale and I were so attracted to Vertical Church when we first started coming here. It was how welcoming people were. I can tell you right now, when I showed up and went out there, not everyone that was serving out there was assigned to serve today. Not everyone out there was welcoming and serving because they were on the schedule. They just wanted to do it. They just wanted to serve. People up on the worship team, they want to serve. People in the children's ministry, they want to serve. People leading vertical groups, they want to serve. It's this crazy idea that maybe Jesus was a teacher, and he said, if you want to be a great leader, you serve. Cale and I were so attracted to that because of how many people wanted to serve in this church. I'm so proud of this church when 30 people last week went and gave in Thanksgiving meals. It's incredible. It's this idea that what Jesus is calling us to is still happening. I'm not giving this message because I don't think anyone's serving. I'm giving this message to spur us on because we get one shot at this life. And we're doing it. We're going. We're moving forward. But let's encourage one another and hold each other accountable to not give up. Don't give up. We get one shot at this life. Look at verse 6. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Because Peter knew, they ain't pleasant, Jesus. Verse 7, Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Then Lord Simon Peter replied, "Not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." And Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. Y'all ever struggle to accept gifts? Y'all, I hate birthdays and Christmas time for this reason. I loathe sitting around in a circle and everyone stares at me while I open a gift. I don't like it, especially some of y'all that use like 93 things of tape and ribbons and bows, and it takes like 5 hours to unwrap the gift while everyone's staring at me. I'm very uncomfortable with it. I don't love it. I struggled for the longest time to accept compliments and made me very uncomfortable. I didn't know really what to do with that because, shockingly, the way I view myself, I'm Phil. Like, I'm not different than anybody else just because there's maybe a title next to my name that says pastor. I'm still Phil. I serve Jesus just like you. Like, I'm Phil. And it made me uncomfortable. And finally, my wife and other people had to say it's okay to accept a compliment. Just thank them. Just be appreciative that someone sees Jesus in you and just thank them. And it began to change me. I'm now okay accepting a compliment. I'm still not okay at Christmas time when we open gifts, though. Please look away while I open this gift. I relate to Peter, who's like, "Jesus, this makes me uncomfortable. You're my leader. You're my savior. I don't think you should wash my feet." But then when Jesus reveals, "No, this is so important for you to understand that you need to be made clean," Jesus explains that and Peter gets it. He's like, "Well, if that's the case, like, wash me, cleanse me. Like, I want to be clean. I want to be part of what you're doing, Jesus." He felt out of place. But here's the thing. This is what Jesus offers to us. He's doing this not only to show us to serve, but he's coming saying, "I've come to make people clean." And whether you're here today and you've been a Christian for a long time, or maybe you are here and you feel unclean, you're wrestling with sin or shame or guilt, I want to tell you about Jesus, who was willing to wash feet to prove a point of, "I've come to make you clean." And Jesus invites you today to come follow him, that you don't have to remain unclean. You don't have to remain trapped in sin. You don't have to remain in shame or guilt. He's come and says, "Come, I can make you clean." And that's Jesus. Look what happens now in verse 12. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I've done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." I know some of y'all want to underline that word blessed, and I think you should. Jesus is telling me, you will be blessed if you follow me as your teacher and Lord. You will be blessed if you're willing to serve other people. If you're willing to give your life to serve the kingdom, you will be blessed. It's one of the things I look around, and it's one of the reasons I think we're still here as a church because of God's faithfulness. It's because there was a group of people here who were committed to serving the kingdom, and God said, "I'm not going to let that wither away." There's a group of people who said, I want to serve. I want my life to be bigger than myself. And God says, I'll bless that. I look around this room and I know who's mostly in Hiawassee, and there's people online. There's so many who serve. And I want to encourage you. Jesus says that will be blessed. Because it's inconvenient, isn't it? There's times where you don't really want to do it. There's times where it's a little bit messy. Jesus over there washing people's feet. By the third person, I guarantee it was messy. But he goes, this is what it looks like to lead. It's to serve. Because inside the kingdom of heaven, when you live life that's bigger than yourself, when you give of yourself, when you go serve, when you go love, it changes things. And Jesus is trying to teach us this example that if you want to make a difference in the spiritual realm, do what I do. Go serve in your friend group. Go serve where you work. Go serve in your family. Husbands, where are we at with that? Would your kids, would your wives, would they say, that dude, he serves and loves like Jesus? Wives, where are we at with that as a daughter of the King? Would your family say they serve and they love like Jesus? Kids, what would your family say about you? Do you serve and love like Jesus? Men and women in your friend groups, in your workplaces, would people say they serve and they love like Jesus? There's all these spheres of influence that Jesus is sending us forth to make a difference, to follow his example, to change the world around us. And I wonder if Christians for hundreds of years have just been fighting the wrong battles. Maybe there's things that still exist inside of families and friend groups because we're not willing to do what Jesus did and to serve one another, to love one another, to let the fruit of the Spirit grow in our life. And he says, no servant's greater than the master. And the irony of that is Jesus is saying, now that I've served, if you call yourself a follower of me, and you don't serve, you're acting like you're greater than the master. That's a hard challenge right there. That's something where I've got to look at my own life and go, if I'm going to follow Jesus in his ways, do I line up with that? Jesus also said something interesting. He said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Could it be said that the harvest is still plentiful today? But there's very few people who understand their power, position, and authority inside of the kingdom. I want to tell you today, I 100% believe the harvest is still plentiful. I don't believe that the world we live in doesn't want Jesus at all. They may not all want the Jesus that we've tried to offer, tied to political parties or the American dream, but I guarantee the Jesus that's explained to us in the Bible can radically change people's life today. Telling you, some of the guys I go to the gym with, they can tell you it's crazy what's happening. We're watching people who don't follow Jesus at all start going, I think I'm going to buy a Bible and I'm going to try to read it. You don't think that can happen with where you work? Some of those people you work with that you know don't follow Jesus, start praying for them. Start loving them. You got those family members who you know don't follow Jesus. Pray for them. Serve. Love. And watch if the harvest isn't plentiful. Because here's the thing, I don't believe, and this church does not believe, that the words of Jesus don't apply to today. The reason we lean in and teach the Bible so much is we believe it applies deeply to today. It can pierce our heart, change our mind and soul, and it can happen in your spheres of influence. Jesus is looking to send you as a son or daughter of the King back to your spheres of influence, where the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And I'm here to tell you today, after the example of Jesus in John 13 especially, that if we follow Jesus, we have power, position, and authority. It's been given to us. It's nothing we've done to earn. It's nothing we've deserved. So don't get prideful or arrogant about it, but you have position, power, and authority to walk back into a world where the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. If the worship team wants to come back up, we'll close out the service. I think it's time Because something I say a lot is, we get one shot at this life. There's no take backs, there's no do-overs. You can't go change yesterday. Tomorrow has not happened yet. But today is our day. Today is our day. And I wanted to teach in that we can understand that Jesus has made some powerful things available to us. Power by Holy Spirit. Position by the sacrifice he made that we could be sons and daughters of the King. Authority to go forth as ambassadors of his kingdom and the good news. Your life is not insignificant. Not in the least. If you've given your life to Jesus, our time is now. Our time is now. Our moment in history is right now to understand our power, position, and authority to go forth into a world where the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. This is our moment where we leave a mark in history. Jesus could come back tomorrow, then let us be found faithful. Jesus could come back in 2,000 years, then let our time in history be remembered as people who understood our power, position, and authority to go forth into a world and to influence and point it to Jesus and remind people there is one hope. There is one hope for humanity, and his name is Jesus. And I want to encourage you, if you're following Jesus, keep it up. Run your race with perseverance. If you've never given your life to Jesus, I want to remind you about John 13. A man who's willing to humble himself and serve and to say, I want to make you clean. That's Jesus. Today, he can make you clean. If you ask for forgiveness of your sins and confess him as Lord, and you can go from floating through life without purpose or identity to becoming a son or daughter of the King who becomes an ambassador for the good news of Jesus, who has Holy Spirit in and through you to influence the world around you. Your life is not insignificant because of who Jesus is. And so as a church, I hope that we'll grasp this continually. That we'll be a church who's willing to challenge one another, to encourage one another. Don't give up. Don't give up. Run our race with perseverance. Follow the lead of our Lord and teacher, Jesus. Serve one another. Love one another. Influence the world around us. Because our life has great significance because of who Jesus is. So, Lord, we give you this time. Holy Spirit, won't you speak into our life? Jesus, thank you so much that you cleanse us for all of our sins, our mistakes, that there's no sin that you don't have power and authority over. Thank you that you came and you wanted to cleanse us. I pray for anyone struggling with sin or guilt or shame. Jesus, won't you remove it? Won't you reveal more of your power, your grace, your authority? Jesus, I pray that you'll beckon to us, you'll call us, reminding us that you're available, that you're wanting to send us forth and work in and through us to reveal yourself, Jesus, to the world around us. I pray for anyone that's struggling with their identity, their power, their position that's been given to them by you, Jesus, if they've confessed that you are Lord. Help us to be people who accomplish everything you want to see done in and through us, Jesus. Help us to love one another well, serve one another well. Help us to be people who continually spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Jesus, I thank you that you're willing to cleanse us. Jesus, we love you. Holy Spirit, won't you fall and won't you move, please? In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.